The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, but I want to say some words for people who might be listening today in Audio Dharma, because maybe some of you are on Audio Dharma today wondering what happened, because it's not being broadcast on YouTube today. Because somehow we're having a trouble with streaming from the computer, and so then we'll work on it, and I'm sure we'll fix it. And then, kind of an announcement is that it just felt right to me, at least, that for the next two weeks after tomorrow, we'll take a break meeting in person here at IMC, and. Just to kind of get our bearings a little bit with this new COVID situation. And then probably we'll start again in 2 weeks on Monday the 17th in person, is my guess. But we'll see how things develop and go. And I don't feel so, myself, I don't feel so worried, but maybe it's not, maybe it's from stupidity. But I think a little influence that, don't all of you run out of here at once, but about 2 weeks ago, my son came home from college with Omicron. And so going through that whole kind of monitoring that and learning about it and what it's all about, and that was partly the motivation to close for 2 weeks, but also part of the reason why I'm not so worried about it also. If we had the precautions we have here, are pretty good, and I think that it makes it pretty safe for everyone. And but when we open again, we might certainly request, but maybe require that everyone also be boosted. The boosters make a big difference. And my son went through; he almost wouldn't have known he had it, except he was told. And then he got tested, and he had very minor symptoms, and then all of us quarantined, and all of us got tested at the right time, and so it's all good apparently. So that's kind of the announcement. So then for the talk. This is the last Sunday talk for this year. We get ready to welcome in a new year. And I remember that in 20, when we brought in 2020, that because of the, this 2020 vision thing, that some of us talked about, there's the year of clear seeing. Well, maybe it was. In some ways, but now I'm thinking about this 2022, and I would love it if it was the year of care, a year in which we cared. And it seems that it's particularly important at this juncture of human history that more of us care, and it really makes a difference if we really come together, all of us, to care about so many things we've learned this over this last year, over the last decades, to care about, that are worth caring about. And then I woke up this morning to learn that Desmond Tutu had died. And, he was a very inspiring person, both because of his fight against apartheid, but also because of the phenomenal work with this Truth and Reconciliation process in South Africa. I mean, that was so inspiring. It's one thing to set a person, people free from oppression like he did, which is so important. It's another thing to come out of that and try to heal the society that was so divided. And probably South Africa wouldn't have managed so well if it hadn't been for the Truth and Reconciliation process. And that inspired so many people in South Africa, even people who didn't go through it formally and, the proceedings they had. They just pointed a different way of being together. And in thinking about what I was going to talk about today, I read about his a little bit about his biography, and I just wanted to mention that apparently he had polio as a kid, and he was his right hand was atrophied because he couldn't use it. And also, when he was 18, he spent a year and a half in the hospital with tuberculosis. But there was an Episcopal priest who came to visit him and became his friend. And that's what set him in motion to become a priest himself and then become the archbishop and then become such a big, you know, big influence on South Africa. And so, you know, he was a great person, inspiring person. But also, we have to remember that there was people who cared for the inspiring people. The people who believed in them enough so that they could move forward and become someone wonderful. And perhaps, you know, this idea of care, emphasizing care. There's a story, traditional story from somewhere. I have this idea it's from the Middle East. Sometime in the time of old, there was a family that gave birth to a baby girl. And as it was, there was a old, wise woman who lived at the edge of town, and she came to see this new girl that was born, and she said, "Oh, she's a wonderful girl for sure. And she will die on her wedding night." Well, so she grew up and she was a wonderful person, and she got engaged, she got married, there was a wedding, and then there was the wedding feast that evening. And the parents, they didn't tell anybody about this prediction, but they were kind of like a little bit on edge, you know, she's going to die tonight. And so it was a big feast. Everyone was partying and feasting and dancing and things. And there came a poor beggar to the door of the party, knocked and asked to have some food. And everyone shooed the person away. No, 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 no. But the bride somehow saw what was going on. And of all the people in the party, was the one who went out there to give food to the beggar. The party went on, there was the wedding night, and everyone woke up the next morning and they were alive. So the parents went to find the old woman and said, "What happened? We've been living with this idea that she was going to die." "Oh, but there was one thing that was going to save her. And that was if she did an act of kindness on her wedding night. But I couldn't have told you that because then it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have been kind. It would have been done, you know, for that purpose." So the act of kindness that saves someone, the act of kindness that will save us, the act of care that will save us, what will we save through our care? And there's lots to care about now, we know, as I said. And now they say that in terms of the whole climate change that's happening, it's not a matter of stopping it, but now our care can go into reducing the damage. And in some ways, that makes it easier, because the idea of all or nothing is kind of hard. But the idea that we can reduce it, each of us can reduce it in an important way. Maybe by saving one life, one animal life, anything we can do to make it better to care. But one of the things that we save, if we care, is in fact our care. Maybe caring, compassion, kindness is one of the most important resources that we have. And it can be lost. It can be forgotten. It can be submerged in despair. It can be lost in anger. It can be lost in all kinds of things. and Distractions in Netflix. But to care, to let that beautiful, to maybe what's saved is our care, and that counts. Who knows what our cares will be needed for? There's another maybe Middle Eastern, Near Eastern story of a Sufi who some genie comes along and offers this Sufi one wish or two wishes. I don't know how you, because you'll decide whether it's one or two. So the Sufi wishes, may I help everyone I come across. Wherever I go, may I be helpful to people. But may it be that I don't know that I'm doing it. And so he's given this big bag, this burlap bag, to carry, that's filled with seeds of fruit trees, maybe date palms or something. And it has a little hole in the back of it. And so as he's carrying it on his back, for his shoulder, it slowly loses these seeds out the back. But he doesn't see them falling, and he keeps walking as he wanders around his part of the world. And he doesn't see that over the weeks and months and years after him, it grows these fruit trees that benefits the people around him. So who knows? Does your care need to have proof that you've succeeded? Is it enough to care? Can you care? But sometimes we do get the wonderful fruit, seeds, the fruits of our care, and sometimes it comes back to ourselves. Maybe this is a very trite example, but it was a little bit inspiring, maybe because it happened during retreat at the retreat center, and so it kind of everything kind of magnified a little bit there. So those of you who haven't been there, we have a little coffee tea area, and in the, under the counter there's a small little refrigerator where they have dairy, milk, different kinds of milk things. So one day I noticed that there was no milk there. So I went out of my way to go get milk, a brand unopened container, and I put it in the fridge for someone who was going to come. So I didn't think about it anymore. A couple of hours later, I decided to have some tea and to put some milk in it. And I opened the refrigerator, and there was a full, unopened bottle of of milk there. The person who had benefited was me. You know, I'd care, you know, so it's a silly example, right? But it comes around. But I'll tell you another way it comes around. That happened this week or so. So my mother, who's now in a memory care home, is now on hospice. And so it was a week or two ago. And so as all this kind of hospice care comes into play, so I received a call. I get all these phone calls now from the hospice about, you know, all kinds of issues and stuff. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place, Mission Hospice here in San Mateo. And so I got one of these phone calls. And this woman says, you know, I'm the Mission Hospice chaplain, and I'm getting ready to visit your mom. So that's nice. But turns out the woman who's my mom's chaplain was introduced to becoming a chaplain to chaplaincy by doing the Buddhist chaplaincy training that I offer here at IMC. Some 10 years ago, 11 years ago, she went through the training and learned about all this. And so I was supporting her. I wanted to, you know, it's a wonderful thing to train chaplains. Some of you in the room have been in the chaplaincy program. I can see at least three or four of you here. And so, you know, I love doing it. I feel like it's a kind of pyramid scheme for joy, because people go out and benefit others. And then guess who benefited? It comes around. So that's nice, you know. So who knows what our care does in the world? Maybe we don't need to know, but who knows the good we can do? So there's another story of a Christian monastery, someplace that the few monks that were left in the monastery were getting quite old, and no one came to visit the monastery anymore. And there was no one joining the monastery. It seemed like the monastery was just dying away, and they could see that in a few years none of the monks would be left, and what would happen to the monastery? They'd be just, you know, it had been a thriving monastery in their youth, but now it was kind of fading away. So the abbot was a little concerned about this, of course, and so I was kind of perplexed, and said, oh, I'm going to go visit this. There's supposed to be this very wise rabbi in the next valley over or something. And so the abbot went to the rabbi and said, you know, we have this issue at our monastery. It's dying away, no one's coming, it seems like it's coming to its end, but do you have any ideas of what we can do and what might revive it? And they had tea and talked about things, and the rabbi said, no, not really. I don't know about monasteries. But then as the abbot was leaving to go back home, the rabbi said, oh, by the way, one of your monks back at your monastery is going to be the Messiah, the next Messiah or something. So the abbot went back to the monastery, and the monks that were there were kind of eager to find out what they'd learned. They all wanted to know what advice they were going to give. And the abbot said, well, he had no advice for us. He didn't have anything to say, but he did say the strange things as I was leaving. As I was leaving, he said, one of us is going to be the Messiah. And I said, wow, that's strange. But then in the next days and weeks, the monks were like, well, you know, who could it be? Well, it can't be Father Lawrence. He's always so grumpy. However, he's always helping. He's always at the right place when someone needs help. He's all right there to help. Could he be? No, maybe. Well, maybe. But what about Father Joseph? Brother Joseph. He's just so lazy. He's just like, you know, no one does less than him in the monastery. But whenever he does something, he's always so kind. And then he went through that, and everyone, they're like, you know, could it be that person? Could it be that person? And as they had these thoughts and recognized that each of them had something a little good going for them, they started treating each other with respect and care and reverence in a way that they hadn't done for a long time. So that was nice. But then one day, some young people from town came to have a picnic on the monastery grounds. And they felt something. And they had little conversations with some of the monks, and they felt something special. So they came back. And they came back, and more of them came. And then some of them joined the monastery, became monks, and after a couple of years, the place was thriving again with young, dedicated monastics. So, care. What happens when we care for each other, we respect each other, we revere each other? What are the conditions we put in place? And it doesn't take a lot of thinking that those are very different conditions than being mean, being indifferent. But to care, to love, to be kind, as if your care is important, as if you matter, that what you do. And maybe it doesn't have to be big. You don't have to become Desmond Tutu. But maybe it's that you cared about a neighbor. You cared about someone who has a flat tire and you pull over to help them. Just saying that, I remember once in Palo Alto, someone's car was stalled in the intersection. The woman's car was stalled and standing there wondering what to do. And it seemed like dangerous. So I got out of my car, parked my car to the side, and I pushed it to the side. Seemed like a nice thing to do, right? Or the right thing to do. And I haven't thought about it in 30 years, but just now. So, to care. Who knows who we're meeting? Do you know the people you meet? Do you know who they are and what their destiny is? And do you know anybody really? Who knows? Maybe they're like Father Lawrence. Maybe they're the Messiah. Maybe something special there. In 2013, some people cared for a 13-year-old girl who was shot. Two years later, that 13-year-old girl received the Nobel Prize of Peace, the Peace Prize. Malala Yousafzai from Pakistan. Who would have known that the caring for her would have such a big impact? In 2018, a 13-year-old teenager started skipping school. A year later, Forbes magazine listed her as one of the 100 most powerful women in the world. And she ended up on the Times magazine Person of the Year. And that was Greta Thunberg. Who would have known? In 2020, a 17-year-old teenager working at the mall, the local mall, changed America by taking the video of George Floyd dying, Daniela Fraser. And then before that, there was a teenager or a girl who lived and went to 13 different schools before she graduated high school. And then went on to be a single parent, cared for by friends and living on food stamps. What would happen to her? She is now currently the U.S. Secretary of Interior. Deb Holland, a Laguna Pueblo, from the Laguna Pueblo tribe. Who knows who's out there? Who knows who we meet? Who knows who you are? Some of these people were ordinary people. But who knows what comes their way? So all these things are, you know, maybe inspiring, also a little daunting when you mention such great people who do such, you know, monumental things. But maybe care, each of them needed people who cared for them. And the people who care, I think, don't have to know what the impact of their care is. Maybe care, what's important about care is the caring. Without much thought about the long-term impacts, just to care, to live a life of care. So how would you live if you lived as if your life mattered? Well, how would you live if you really thought that you could make a difference? And I think our lives do matter. Probably many of you know it's kind of a stereotypic idea now that you know, in the holidays, some people watch It's a Wonderful Life, Wonderful World, is that what it is? Maybe we can all be George Bailey, the man who didn't think that he'd done anything good in life and was going to jump off a bridge and commit suicide. And then the angel comes, right, and shows him what his life, what life in the town would have been like if he hadn't lived at all, and it was awful. So here we are. We do matter, each of us. We're important. So we ended up with Kuan Yin on the altar. It's kind of, she's never actually been up there that I know of. It's kind of nice to have her there, especially for this talk. And care, compassion, kindness. There's a story about Kuan Yin that sometimes there's Kuan Yin is said to have 11 heads, sometimes 1,000 arms. And the story is that how she got those 11 heads and 11 arms. Apparently she worked tirelessly to save people, apparently one day she had everything all tidied up. Imagine that. Everyone was good. And then she woke up the next morning and sure enough, people were suffering again. It didn't take long for the suffering to come back. And she did it again, but then the suffering came. And she saw the immense suffering of this world that seemingly she couldn't keep up with. And so, I guess in English you would say she was heartbroken, but her head burst. Head broken. And into 11 heads and 1,000 arms, so because she can be even more effective and more helpful and help the world. And the 1,000 arms are there because each hand has a different tool, implement to help the world. So, and she has all these heads to look everywhere. I like this story a little bit because some of us are afraid of having our heart broken. Maybe the issue, if it's difficult to have your heart broken, maybe you haven't had it broken enough. Maybe. Maybe there's the art of letting it break, really break. Maybe then you'll be Kuan Yin. Your heart will break into 11 hearts. Or some people say that if your heart breaks into many pieces, it just has more surface area. In order to feel and sense and be caring for this world. I don't think we should be so afraid of having our hearts broken. I think that if we can learn, maybe through the practice we do, the mindfulness practice, to not resist it, not be oppressed by it, not be afraid of it, not be submerged by it, not give up because of it. There's something about caring in spite of the broken heart, something about a sense of dignity and value and presence that allows us the heart to break and something kind of to emerge from that. Caring for the world, caring for others, sensitivity, love, kindness. Maybe if your heart is broken enough, what else is there but to be kind? What's left if you do it thoroughly? So these 1,000 arms, hands of Avalokiteshvara, I think of them also as hands that reach out and touch the whole world. And it's remarkable that we live in a world now that is, it's kind of a stereotype or a little cliche that the world has gotten so small. But I can't help but to keep thinking that it's getting smaller and smaller in the way that what happens elsewhere in the world affects us and what we do affects the world. I mean, there was someone apparently less than two months ago, who got sick with COVID in South Africa. It was discovered to have, one person discovered to have this new variant. When did I care so much about what happened in a sick person in the other side of the world? But that one person from there, maybe, or represented somewhere it began and spread out across the whole world. And now the whole world is pausing in a certain way for Omicron. We have this invisible force. We don't see it in our normal eyes, the virus. And it's the fact that it spreads and connects all of us all over the world. And what happens in South Africa, what happens elsewhere, has a huge impact on us. Can we just close our borders and just care for ourselves as if we can? That's enough. If we want to care for ourselves, I think we should care for others. It isn't just mothers going to nursing homes, having chaplains come, that we can experience how it comes back to us. But it's also, if we don't care for the world, don't care for others, then what virus will come find us? I kind of love seeing people with masks on, and I'm troubled by it, of course. But my assumption is that when people wear masks, that they're caring for me. And certainly when I'm wearing a mask, I'm caring for all of you. And the fact that there's in a room full of people where the care is visible, I think it's such a beautiful thing, wonderful thing. Love made visible, these masks. And as we care for others, the wonderful thing about COVID, the wonderful, can we say the wonderful around it? The wonderful thing about COVID is that this simultaneous thing where if we care for others, we're simultaneously caring for ourselves. It's kind of represented by the masks. The mask also, we care for, it's a way of caring for ourselves. You're protecting yourself with a mask, and you're protecting others through the mask. And so it's kind of like this situation where you get to have the benefits of both. You both get to benefit yourself and benefit others. Care for yourself, care for others. And so you might as well get credit for both. So don't just do it for your own sake. And don't just do it for other people's sake. Do it for both. You get a lot more credit. Wherever credit is stored, I don't know where it is. In your heart, I think that's where the credit is. So, you know, it's a beautiful thing to develop, to grow this heart, to expand this heart, sometimes by breaking it and letting it grow. It makes a difference. Your care makes a difference. It makes a difference for you. It makes a difference for the world. So perhaps just like the monastery, if everyone, if we treat everyone as worthy of care, worthy of respect, worthy of reverence, everyone, it is a care that I think will return and benefit us as well. Not least because it's good for our hearts. It's good for our inner lives to treat people that way, to see people that way. I think of it as the natural way of being. Anything short of that requires resistance, requires contraction, closing down, pushing away, being selfish. So the year of care. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking that some people have calculated that unless we do change something, a million species of plants and animals will be extinct within the next 100 years. So what will die if we don't care. Certainly care will die. And do you want to live in a world where there's no care? I'd rather live in a world that cares than anything else. And with our care, some things will die. And one of the things that will die is our selfishness. Would that be so bad? I think it'll be liberating to do that. So 2022, may it be the year of care. And by the end of next year, you'll know whether it was a year of care, if you cared. Then you'll be the proof of it. May you benefit this world, and in doing so, yourself. Thank you.